Proverbs chapter 31, beginning from verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Let's pray. Father in heaven, our gracious God, we do come before you, Father, this morning, and we do praise you and honor you for the God that you are, the God that you have always been, and the God that you will be. Father, your promises are true. You cannot lie. You're not a man that you should lie. We can trust you. We can trust your word. And we do. And I pray, Father, for those that haven't yet come to trust your word fully. Lord, I pray for them today that you would continue to even work in their hearts by looking at an example of a godly woman, one that fears God. And I pray that you'd work in the hearts of mothers and wives and our dear sisters in the Lord today, that you would show them from your word, Lord, what a God-fearing woman is supposed to be. Pray that you'd minister to them. I pray that your word, dear God, will help them, encourage them, challenge them, and that you'd have your way in their hearts, that they'll be everything that you purpose for them to be. And Lord, I pray that you will continue even to work in our hearts as men, Lord God, as fathers and husbands and friends and brothers, that we would not hinder the work that you desire to do in their life, that we would love, Lord, our mothers, we would love our wives and sisters and those that are in the Lord. Lord, I pray that we would be a peculiar people the way you have designed us to be in Christ, living for the glory of God alone and for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 31 begins with a mother giving some valuable wisdom to her son who's a king. The king's mother is instructing her son to be obedient to the word of God. A mother of a president one day was asked, how did your son become so well in his integrity? And she once said, I taught him how to obey. Obedience to the instruction given is so important. But also, the most valuable ministry mothers and fathers can have is the spiritual training in a life of their children. This mother knew the responsibility that she had from the Lord to raise her children in the fear of God. You can see that in verse 1 and 2. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, what my son and what the son of my womb, and look at this, and what the son of my vows. There seems to be a commitment made to the Lord, perhaps, that she would raise up her son in the fear of God. The mother cautions her son to beware of the dangers that he will face in life, various sinful temptations, influences that he would be one day confronted with. Verse 3, his mother warns him against his lust that he would have for ladies, by the way, which is a strong reality. Remember what happened to Samson. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 3, give not strength unto who? Women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. And so here she warns him, don't let the lust of the beauty of the woman deceive you or take you or be in control of you. And that's what we do have today. And if young people don't watch out in their youth, they will grow up just to be like these people that are taken by the filth that you see on the internet. What a sad reality for a grown man to sit in front of a computer and dribble down under wickedness. What a sad thing that you'd grow up to be a man that was taken by your own lust. What a terrible thing. You step back, imagine how God feels about that. Watching you dribble over something that is forbidden and unlawful. But over here we have a mother concerned for her son, that he would not be controlled over this fake beauty that we see in the world today that wants to lure man. This is why the proverb writer in chapter number 7 says, the simple, the one that is void of understanding is taken by the lust of the beauty of a woman. The mother cautions her son not only about this, but also she cautions him in verse 4 to warn him against not only the lust of ladies, but also the lust of liquor. Look at verse 4 and 5. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Now that doesn't give you any excuse to start drinking alcohol because you're not a king, amen. The last I saw that we are kings and priests in Christ. So we should be above board and not let even substances control our life. Verse 5, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. This mother understood how the temptations of this life can ruin her son. And I mean ruin. Ruin. You know, you can live up in a godly home with a godly mother like this and listen to godly messages and still, you know, end up just like the people in the world. Did you know that? You can have good teaching, good doctrine. And this is what the proverb writer says, my son, I've given you good doctrine, but it's the responsibility of every son to embrace the wisdom of God. A preacher once said, happy is that person who had a godly, God-fearing mother who warned him about sin, but happier is the person who heeded her warnings. Amen? Absolutely. You know, when you see people go out into the world, and we meet them on the street and they say, oh, I used to be in Sunday school and I used to have a Christian home and I was raised up like this, you know, staggering down the street or start living like an ungodly person that was reared in a godly home. That didn't happen the day you saw them. That happened from the moment they were taught, they resisted the wisdom of God. Every day they bucked and kicked against godly counsel. It didn't happen overnight. It was when they resisted the word of God. They laughed and mocked about the word of God. And then they ended up a statistic. You know, even me as a Catholic, I was brought up in morals. And I said to myself, I'll never do that, never do that, never do that. And I went out in the world and guess what I did? I did all those things I said I'll never do. I was just one of them. Why? Because I wasn't, well, my at least home wasn't teaching me the wisdom of God. I was being taught rituals of the Catholic system. Now, that was one of the things that kind of destroyed me. But look, listen, at the end of the day, what about a person growing up in a home that is God-fearing, full of wisdom from God's word, and then they go out to be a statistic? It's a sad reality. From verses 8 to 9, she faithfully reminds her son regarding his responsibility as a king. Look at verse 8 and 9. He says, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth and judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and needy. In other words, she's simply saying, listen, you need to be a righteous king that is, you know, judging righteously. And a king cannot judge righteously or fulfill his responsibility if he's out there chasing women. And he sure can't fulfill his responsibility if he's fulfilling the lust of the flesh and drinking liquor. But a sad reality today is that what we see in the common nature of a lustful man that rejects the word of God, becoming a statistic. Read Proverbs chapter number 7 all the way down. Strong men have fallen. Good men that embrace the word of God have fallen. It's one of the things that will destroy your walk with God. Destroy, listen to me, your marriage. Destroy a good church is having men that are full of lust and not fulfilling their responsibility, their God-given responsibility. The truth of the matter is, no one can be faithful to their God-given responsibilities when they're dabbling in sin. Sin will cripple any person from doing the very things that God has called you to do. In verses 10 to 31, it seems that his mother gives a discourse of the ideal woman he should be looking for. She begins by asking a question that gives us the obvious answer, that a woman that simply is virtuous is so valuable. Look at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? In other words, she's saying she's very rare. She's rare to be found. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above what? Mate, she can't be bought. A virtuous woman is valuable. And we're going to see later on, she's a God-fearing woman that makes her virtuous and valuable. She can't be bought. She's very rare to find. That's what she's saying. Not that she can't be found. She can be found. And you know what? Some men as well. The Bible talks about this in another proverb. A faithful man who can find. Every man proclaimeth his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. So both men and women, it's very hard, even in our day, to find someone that is committed and faithful to their God-given responsibilities. It's very difficult to find them. You got people with talent. You got people with ability. Some with resources and riches. But the way they live is a way that dishonors God, brings shame to his name by their lack of responsibility that God has given to them. But over here, she outlines a woman that is virtuous and valuable. And so it's important to have a look at this woman today. Proverb 31 woman, we call her, who is filled with virtue, conveys a great testimony before others. We're going to look at her virtue. As we look into her life, it should not be a time of discouragement. Listen, the Bible itself sets her up to be the cream of the crop. Many have done virtuously, but this one here, she takes the cake. But that shouldn't discourage us to say, oh, well, then I'm not good enough. I can never mount out to that. No, that shouldn't be the attitude today. The whole point of the wisdom of God is to look at this person and say, you know what, Lord, I want to be like that by your grace. I want these qualities to be instilled in me. I want to be virtuous. I want to be valuable in your eyes. So the focus is simply, on the way she cared for her husband. I want to imitate that. The way she cared for her family. I want to imitate that. The way she cared for the poor. I want to imitate that. Even the way she handles money, it depicts her being a hard-working woman. In other words, she wasn't lazy. And we know that throughout the Proverbs, we have many principles saying, hey, listen, don't be lazy, don't be lazy. Be God-fearing, embrace the wisdom of God. And look, now we have an example of a woman that lives out the Proverbs. So we look at her and we say, I want to live out the Proverbs. I want to be a wise builder. Wise builder that lives out the principles and the wisdom of God. You know what? I've failed. But you know, God can help me up and start living the Word of God, that the Word of God will impact. Look, listen, my life, it's not too late. It's never too late. Someone once said, I really like this, worth to be noting as we conclude our introduction and get into the message. He says, do not see her as a model to imitate in every detail. Your days are not as long enough to do everything she does. See her instead as an inspiration to be all you can be. We can't be just like her, but we can learn from her industry, integrity, and resourcefulness. And that's true because God has given you gifts and talents and the measure of faith that is given to you. Not everyone can have the same capacity, but listen, her integrity is what we want to look at. Amen. The way her character, the way she lives and her conduct. So let's have a look at and start in verse 11. First of all, she takes care of her husband's needs. And I guarantee you 100% that you will find some of these principles in the book of the Bible and other passages like Titus chapter number 2. You'll see them all over the place. It's common. It's something that should be biblically normal, amen? Verse 11, have a look at verse 11 here. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so he shall have no need of what? Spoil. You know what? But the Bible says right here, he doesn't lack. He rests in the fact that her wife takes care of him. What do you mean, take care of him? Is he a baby? No. Take care of his needs, that God designed her to be a helpmeet and to take care of him and look after him, and they complete each other. Again, we're speaking about the responsibility of a woman or a mother, or not a wife, not a responsibility of a man. We'll get to that in another time, but we got to be reminded that that's how God created the woman. You say, what, the man doesn't take care of his wife? Of course he does, but here we're focusing on the mothers and the wives today. That she takes care of his needs, she looks after him, he doesn't lack. She takes care of, those things that are simply wanting in his life. She steps up, she loves him, cares for him. Verse 12, she treats her husband with respect. Look at verse 12. She respects him. She will do him good, not evil, all the days of her what? As long as she lives, she respects him. She doesn't hurt him. She doesn't try to compete with him. She doesn't try to stand over him and take his responsibility as a leader. She completes him and she respects him and honors him and looks after him. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9, you don't want to be like this woman. The Bible says, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than to be with a brawling woman in a wide house. You don't want to be like that woman. You don't want to be a Proverb 21, you want to be a Proverb 31. It says it twice in this book, Proverbs 21, verse 19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. You know what the Bible's conveying to us? That you're far off better living alone than to live with a woman that completely nags and bickers and continues to complain and gives you a headache and heartache, and you're better off being alone. This is why I say to men, listen to me, never marry outside of the will of God. Never marry outside of the will of God. You want to marry a woman that is God-fearing, that would honor God, because if she honors God, she'll honor you. Does that mean she's sinless? No, of course not. That just means that when she fails and falls, she recognizes that she's failed and she comes and asks for forgiveness. Amen? Like any one of us. She's not proud. She's humble. She's respectful. She honors him. Verse 13, she makes clothes for her household. Look at verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Verse 14, she orders and organizes the groceries, I call it. She's like the merchant's ships and bringeth her food from where? From afar. Man, she's always looking for good buys, and she, probably just, is in the exporting business just so she can get, a good price. I was one of the things that I was worried about with my wife. When I was courting her, I was worried about her being vain, and she wanted the best of everything, like just wanted designer clothes. And I said to her, I started asking a series of questions because I was afraid. Last thing I wanted to do was try to keep up with the Joneses, and that she wanted the best of everything, and then she wouldn't be happy if I never got her the best of everything. And she, instead of, shopping smart and looking for good specials and buys and all the rest of it, not stingy, but just being orderly with the finances, being a good steward. I was afraid that she would just wanted to throw money, and if I didn't get her that, she'd be upset. And so I asked her, I said, look, would it matter if we didn't have this and we didn't have that and wouldn't have this? Would it matter if we went maybe to Africa and we didn't ever, owned a home, and we went to Africa and we served there and we lived in a tent? She says, I've lived in a tent before. I said, oh. I was a bit shocked there. I've never met anyone that lived in a tent. I thought that was only for camping. And back in the days of Abraham, one day, I eventually ended up marrying her, and I praise God that I did. And we were newly, married couple, and she one day comes home and says, look what I got. And I got it for $5. I said, oh, that looks nice. Where'd you get that from? And she said, I got it from the op shop. I said, op what? I said, quickly, go put it in the, you know, wash it, bleach it, do something with it. And God ended up showing me that I was vain. Because I was in corporate business. I was earning six figures, and I wanted the best of everything. And then God was trying to reduce me from that. And sure enough, it was me that God was working on. And she was coming up with this, mate, I don't know why people give this away. It was looks good. But over here it says she organizes things. She takes care of the home. And verse 15, she cooks breakfast for her whole family, even her servants who lived with her. By the way, let me just say this as a disclosure. I said some of the men will get some of this. This doesn't mean, men, you don't help out. Amen? When you can. This doesn't mean that you see she does all the thing. At times she's going to be sick. At times she's not going to be able to do some of these things. You step up and you help. Amen? But when she's well, she knows her place in the home and she takes care of it. She does it diligently. Look at verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. And look at this. And a portion to her who? Man, that just blows me away. She even serves her own maidens that she's organized for them to serve her. Isn't that marvelous? Man, what a character. Reminds me of the centurion. Remember the centurion that had a sick servant? By the way, we looked at this at Friday night at Bible Institute. It's okay to be rich as a Christian as long as those riches don't control you and you know how to handle your finances well. Amen. It's okay, and it's okay. We looked at other things. There were Christian masters that had servants, and the Bible talks about how to look after those servants. And so the centurion was looking after his servant, even to the point where he was sick. Heard about Jesus wanting to heal, that can heal, and he calls for him. Now think about that. Someone that was rich can just say, look, just get rid of him. He's about to die. Get me another servant. But he didn't do that. And remember what Jesus said about him having what? Great faith. There was integrity in that man. There was sincerity and in truth already working in that man's life as a centurion Gentile. And there are people like that. And I believe they're God-made when they're God-fearing. I really do. Like Nathaniel here. An Israelite indeed. Why? There was no guile in him. There was no trickery. Why? Because he was a God-fearing man that made him who he was. God-fearing woman before us, waking up, making sure her family is taken care of, even her maidens. Verse 16, she saves up money. Of course, this would be under her husband's watch, if you look at other passages, to purchase some land, to work in the garden, to harvest fresh produce. Look at verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hand. She planteth a vineyard. Man, unbelievable. And she's got all these different trades working in a field. Verse 17, she keeps fit so she can continue to be a blessing. Look at verse 17. She girdeth the loins with her strength. She strengtheneth her arms. Adam Clark said she takes care of her own health and strength, not only by means of useful labor, but by healthy exercise. She avoids what might enervate her body or soften her mind. She is ever active and gird ready for every necessary exercise. Her loins are firm. Her arms are strong. Verse 18, she makes sure that she purchases quality goods for the home and things that are of necessity, like example, candles and lanterns and oil for the lanterns to light up her home. Look at verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by the night. She didn't have electricity back then. They were living on candles, and she made sure that there was enough for her house to constantly be full of light. Look at verse 19. She works to make materials, similar to works with a sewing machine. It's called a spindle. She layeth up her hands to the spindle. Her hands hold the distaff. And this is talking about a lady that's back in the home working with her hands. Verse 20, she has compassion towards those who are in need. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, and she reacheth forth her hands to who? The needy. Verse 21 to 22, she makes sure her household is warm in winter. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself covering of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Look at verse 23. She's a crown of glory to her husband. Going back to the husband now. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. You know what? This kind of woman makes her husband look good. He's out there in the gates where all trade work and wisdom is put forth and work is to be done, and they go in for meetings perhaps, and they know him. That's that man that has that wife. You know that wife, that Proverbs 31 woman? That's what a blessed man. Well, she's a crown to him. She makes him look good. She takes care of him. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But notice this conjunction, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his what? Bones. Man, the opposite is true. Verse 24, she works to make clothes for her family and sells some of it. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. It's amazing. Again, that's her ability. She's able to do this. In other words, it shows us that she's not lazy at all. She's willing to work. Verse 25. By the way, there's nothing wrong with ladies working in the home outside of taking care of their family if they have that ability to do that. And as long as her responsibilities to her husband and her children are not neglected. You often get that sometimes. Can women work? Well, as long as, you know, they're working in such a way where their main work is not neglected. Amen. Verse 25, she's a woman of integrity and she's a joyful woman. Strength and honor are her clothes, and she rejoiced in the time to come. She's a woman of integrity, honor, and she's a joyful woman. Verse 26, she's a kind and caring woman. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of what? Kindness. Not only she's endued with wisdom, but she's caring and kind. She doesn't allow her knowledge and her wisdom to supersede her love. Verse 27, she knows the needs of her home and she's not lazy, but rather meets those needs. Look at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of what? Idleness. There it is. She's hardworking. She's not lazy. Look at verse 28. She's praised by her children for her love and care. Look at verse 28. Her children arise up and call her what? Her husband also, and he what? Praiseth what? Wow. What a blessing. Someone once said, this kind of appreciation must not be reserved for Mother's Day or Christmas. Rather, it must be shown sincerely all year long. Gratitude is a wonderful Christian virtue. It needs to be cultivated in every home. Listen, we live in a society that's absolutely unthankful. No matter what someone does, they're never happy. You know why? They're spoiled to the bone. To get a thank you today from somebody is almost impossible. Right? Because they're constantly nagging, complaining, selfish people. I know, because I was out of experience. Not until I got saved, I really appreciated my mother. The one that took care of me. Man, she took care of me. Even as an unsaved mother. She took care of me. She knew her place culturally. She took care of me. And you know what I paid her in return? Dishonor. Not until I got saved and I realized, humanly speaking, how much he'd done for me. And thank God he gave me the opportunity to repay the favor by preaching the gospel to her. She ends up getting saved. Well, that's a blessing. I hadn't even been married. I was about 30 years old. I got saved at 24. She got saved about a year later. I was probably about 25, 27, and I began to develop a relationship with my mom, especially when I was discipling her. And can you imagine a grown man having his head in his mother's lap? And she's stroking my head. Back then, when I was in my sinful days, I was too proud. Too proud to love my mother, the one that cared for me. Too proud to praise her. At times, she would be laying in her bed, and it was her. She was. You could see that God was preparing to take her home, and she would uncover the blanket, and she said, "Charlie, come in." She wanted me to hop into bed with her and snuggle her. I couldn't wait, especially when I wasn't in a hurry. I just couldn't wait, and I'll just snuggle her precious time before she went to be with the Lord. I thank God that the Lord worked this in my heart, because if he didn't, I'm a lazy man. I don't even care about what my mum's done. She's making my bed. I should be making my bed. I should say, "Ma, you shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be doing that." And an unthankful man I was. If you have a godly mother that cares for you, any mother, even an unsaved mother, and you're saved, you should honor her and love her with the time that you have as much as you can, with the resources you can, with the ability that you can. Not fake love, but proper appreciation. Let love be without dissimulation. Proper appreciation. Don't go overboard, like genuine, when you can, when you're able. We don't wait for Mother's Day, amen. And even people, they want to get it out of the way. You've got flowers all over there, and they quick stop, you know, convenient. Got to do my duty. All right, thank you, Ma. See you later now. This is what we call in Arabic, wajbat. You know what that means? You're compelled to do it. It's not even from the heart. You're better off not doing it at all. You get what I'm trying to say? Love that is genuine and caring. I believe one of the best things that a saved person can do for their mother is constantly pray for their salvation and do all that you can to try to reach them with the gospel. While you can. With wisdom. But what do we repay our mothers? With what? Today, with disdain, selfishness. Isn't it sad that the husband doesn't praise his wife for all that she does? You know, that's all she needs sometimes. Just grab her by the face and say, "Oh, I praise God for you." And give her a kiss and walk away. You know what that would do to her soul, my friend? Oh! Hezekiah sees us sometimes kiss. You know what he says when he sees us kiss? "Oh, they're getting married!" Because he knows that married people are doing that. No, we're not getting married again, my friend. Don't worry. Married people can kiss all the time. Amen? Praise God. But when he sees us doing it, "He's getting married!" Thank God he knows that that's reserved for marriage. Praise God for that. God takes this attitude of this godly woman very seriously. So much so that he's actually even put qualifications for her that when she becomes a widow and loses her husband, that if this godly woman lives a life that is honoring to God, then the church takes the responsibility of looking after her. That's how, you know, serious God takes this. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 5, please. I want you to see this. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Of course, a woman, as we see in a moment, that's a widow, that's got no family members. She's got no family, no one to take care of her. She's honored her God. She's looked after her family. And She's got no children to look after her in any way. Husband's gone. If she lives up to everything that God wants her to be, God calls the church to take care of her in every area. This is how much God values a godly woman. Amen. 1 Timothy 5, verse 5. Now she that is a widow indeed, a widow that is a true widow, and desolate, that means she doesn't have anybody, trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. A true widow, first of all, is one that is desolate. This means the widow doesn't have any relatives to take care of her. Or she may have been rejected by her family for being a Christian, and therefore she has no help and support. Her husband's dead. Second of all, a true widow is dependent. Look at this. She trusteth in God. She depends upon God. She's a woman of faith. She believes in the Lord. She is utterly dependent upon her God. Albert Barnes says, she has no one else to look to but God. She has no earthly reliance and destitute of husband, children, property. She feels her dependence and is steadily looked to God for consolation and support. And you know what? God does take care of her by saying to the church, embrace her. A true widow is one who is devoted. Look at this. And continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. She has a relationship with God. This depicts her faithfulness. A true widow walks with the Lord. Her prayer life continues throughout the day. Supplication. This means she has pointed prayer requests. She still relies on God. And prayers. In other words, different kinds of prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving is made by her. She's a woman that cares for others and prays for others. Number four, a true widow is one that is not like Demas. Doesn't love the pleasures of this life. Look at verse 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. It's the opposite of a true widow indeed. She's not like Demas. She doesn't forsake the ministry because her husband's died. She loves the Lord. She wants to serve the Lord and honor the Lord in any way she can with the ability that she has left. William MacDonald says, in contrast to the godly widow of verse 5, regarding this verse 6, is the one who gives herself to pleasure. There is some disagreement as to whether this woman is a true believer or a mere professor. We believe that she is a genuine Christian, backslidden. She is dead as far as communion with God or usefulness or for him are concerned. So in other words, she's not living like she should. And we know what? There are Christians like that. They don't live like they should. By the way, some biblical definitions of living in pleasure is living in worriness. To be constantly worried. Second of all, it's to live in wantonness. To live in luxury with no shame. And then number three, to live in pleasures to will can also mean to live in worldliness, self-pursuit, living for the here and now. Number four, to live in pleasures to live in wickedness, to be self-willed. Proverbs 21, verse 16, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. By the way, let me just say, there's a big difference between loving the pleasures of this world and having the pleasures of God fulfilled in your life. In the presence of the Lord, there is pleasure forevermore. Isn't that a blessing? I want you to see the detail. This is very important. I mean, this is part of the meat of the sermon. Looking at this woman is so important to understand because it's not just cliche passed by words fearing God. There is characteristics that are described throughout Scripture depicting this godly woman, and I want you to see the qualification to support a widow indeed. So for the church to support this widow, she has qualifications. Look at verse 9. Of 1 Timothy 5. Let not a widow be taken into a number under 80 years old. Having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. And so it seems that these widows have been enlisted in the work of the ministry, like Anna. If you recall Anna, that was in the work of the ministry. A widow indeed must be 60 years old. And again, it mentions here very clearly, let a widow be taken in a number of under 80 years old. Widows under 60 years old will be prone to be perhaps encouraged to be maybe married again or taken care of in another way. But number two, she needs to be faithful to her husband. A widow had to be married once to be called a widow, by the way. I don't think this is talking about remarriage again after her husband's death. The one man may well indicate the fact that she had to be faithful to her husband. But thirdly, she has to be faithful in housekeeping, not only to her husband, well reported for good works. Well reported here gives us a good indication that others would know in her manner of life. You'd know when you look at her that she's a godly woman. And the Bible says even a child is known by her doings. Proverbs 14:33, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. But that which is in the midst of fools is made what? Is made known. You can see when someone is foolish. You can see when someone is acting up. You can see when someone is not doing that which is right. By the way, let me just say this. It takes work to keep the home. She must have a good testimony by being committed and serving her family in the home. This is Titus chapter number 2, verse 2 to 5. Do we have that there? That the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged woman likewise, that they be behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I believe this widow indeed that qualified would have all those traits. Number four, faithful in her house schooling, homeschooling. If she have brought up children, she must be faithful in raising her children to love the Lord. A good example for that is Timothy's mother and grandmother. And then number five, faithful in her hospitality. If she have lodged strangers, she's a woman who was willing to entertain strangers by providing them a place to stay. Lydia is a good example of that. Faithful also in helping the saints. If she hath washed the saints' feet, she's a woman who serves the saints of God. She's a true servant. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the what? Household of faith. Can you imagine? I mean, we're talking about a woman here. How much more men? How much, I mean, this woman indeed, this Proverb 31, I'm sorry to say, would put some men to shame. That should be like, man, I need to pick this up. Her life is convicting, not only to me as women, but to me as a man. That's convicting, isn't it? Hebrews 10 verse 6, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. You know, the hard work that people put in today is in vanities. They work hard in providing things that are unlawful. Look at number seven, faithful in reaching out to the hurting. If she hath relieved the afflicted. Man, this is similar to the Proverb 31 woman. Don't you see the resemblance here? A willingness to sacrifice for others, especially those who are in need. Number eight, faithful and helping in any way possible. If she had diligently followed every good work. A devoted servant who is diligent to help meet a genuine need when it presents itself. Wynne MacDonald said, in short, in order to be enrolled or the list of a local assembly, this widow must have diligently followed every good work. Again, Anna is the perfect example of this. Have a look in Luke 2, verse 36. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asa. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. You could look at this woman called Anna, that was wholeheartedly submitted to God and for his glory. Keep in mind, these are general qualifications given to widows who are widows indeed. Those that have an opportunity to simply demonstrate these things, because we know and understand people get saved later in their age, amen? And they get saved later in their, but how much more when you're reared up in a Bible-believing church from a young age, knowing the principles and the oracles of God, that you should maintain this disposition. I know many of us, perhaps my mum being one of them, would say, I wish I was a Christian when I was younger. I wish I knew this earlier. God gives grace for the ignorant. And thank God for that grace. But to whom much is given, much is what? Absolutely. And in closing now, I want you to see the main motivation for this kind of woman who is virtuous and valuable. Have a look at Proverbs 31:29 now as we come to a close. Proverbs 31:29. We'll pick it up in the preaching some more now. We had a little bit of a teaching here about this. And maybe we'll pick it up some preaching, Brother Dylan, so you're not feeling the pain back there, amen? I can see your face. We'll preach some. Verse 29. I want you to see this. What made her virtuous? What made her valuable? Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Look at verse 30. Favor is what? Beauty is what? Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord shall be what? This one. This woman is to be praised. Not just any, but this woman. Yes, we honor our parents, and we should. But this one, we praise God for this. For God working in her heart, making her this woman. Because without God, she cannot be virtuous or valuable. Remember, she can't be bought. She's made by the hand of God. She's worked the principles and the wisdom that God gives in her life. She's been built up in the faith. This woman is exceptional. She's an exceptional wife and mother. And why? It's a result of honoring God, fearing God, respecting God. In our society today, people look at appearance and they elevate the outward more than the inward beauty. That's what our society looks at all the time. That's the status quo. The outward beauty. But did you notice not one time in both our main chapters this morning never spoke about the outward beauty? Never spoke about how she looked outwardly? Never spoke about whether she knew how to put on makeup well? Today you've got just channels on how to do it well and how to, all these things that to bring out the beauty of a woman. Because she is beautiful compared to a man, but they just want to bring her out to be vain. But God focuses on the inward beauty. God looks at a woman inwardly and puts a value on her character. The book of Proverbs begins with the command to fear the Lord. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And it ends with a woman living out the fear of the Lord. And that's how she looks like. And she's praised and honored by God Himself, by the Holy Spirit, penning down these things. Her value comes from the Lord. He makes godly women when they humble themselves under the hand of God. Now listen, this doesn't mean that a woman cannot look beautiful. Don't get me wrong. But it should never take the place of inward beauty. Inward beauty should be number one. Peter says that. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 3 and have a look at this. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and look at verse 1 to 5 as we bring it to a close. What makes this woman virtuous and valuable? Well, she fears the Lord, and the proof that she's fearing the Lord is that she's humble. She's got a meek and quiet spirit. She's not proud. She's not boisterous, flamboyant, in your face. She's humble. She knows her place. And we can see this in verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife. That's how influential this woman could be. That she can actually even win her unsaved husband to the Lord by the life that she lives. Now, she can't make the decision for him, but she can show the virtues of Christ, and she can look back, and he can look back and say, there's something different about my wife ever since she trusted the Lord Jesus as her Savior. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Especially when God works these qualities in you. Verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with what? Coupled with what? Fear. We're talking about someone that fears God, walks in the fear of the Lord. We need more of that. Verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, of the wearing of gold, or putting on apparel. So he's simply saying here, don't let it be the outward. Don't let that be the focal point. But, verse 4, let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, a what? A what? A great price. It's a great price. Verse 5, for after the manner in the old time, the holy women also, when who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. You know what? These women, they're women of faith. They trusted God. And one who trusts God fears God. And one who fears God is humble before the hand of God. That God can mold them and make them into a virtuous and valuable woman. What a challenge. And what a challenge it is to us men that God has given us the responsibility to lead. Someone said a happy home does not just happen. It is a result of hard work, prayer, and real love. When husbands and wives trust the Lord and each other, there will be happiness and blessing. The marriage vows are promises that must be taken seriously. To break these vows is to sin against God and each other. Imagine the husband and wife fearing God, working as a team for the glory of God. How much influence they can have for the kingdom of God. And for the next generation. Verse 31, and we're done. Her life shines, and others see it, and again give her honor. Give her the fruit of her hands. And let her own works praise her in the where? A city on a hill cannot be hid. And you could tell her from a mile away. Here she is. She's not trying to stand out. If from the crowd. She just stands up because she loves God. And you can tell when someone absolutely loves God, honors God. Why? It's going to reflect in their lifestyle, the way they live. She's virtuous, but then she's valuable. She's worth a lot, but she can't be bought. She's not for sale. Did you know that? And I believe God protects women like this. I really do. I don't know about you, but I desire for my three young girls to be virtuous and God-fearing girls. One of the things that stood out with my wife, and she's been brought up in a Christian home, she got saved at 10, is when I heard her speak to her father over the phone one time. She called him daddy. She was in her 20s. And she goes, yes, daddy. And she's just this respect that she had for her father. Blew me away. Never seen it in my home. I've seen the opposite. And looking at an ungodly home and a godly home growing up as a young Christian gave me this desire to wanting to train up children for the Lord that would love and honor their God-given authorities and God Himself. We need more of this. It's very rare. But it's our responsibility to raise them up in the fear of the Lord. Amen? Our responsibility. Listen, you drop the ball. It's your responsibility. And the king had a mother that loved him enough to say, King, do what God's called you to do. You can't go wrong. Thank God for godly mothers, godly wives and women. Thank God for them. Father in heaven, our gracious God, we do praise you and thank you, Father. This is no doubt a challenge to everybody, not just women, but everybody. To be God-fearing, to be people of faith, to humble ourselves under your hand, that your grace will continue to work in our lives and that will channel down to our children. I pray that we would live for your glory by the life that we live here on earth, submitting to your word, living out your word, being hard-working, compassionate, God-fearing people. I pray that you'd have your way with anybody in this room today that hasn't yet come to know you as their Savior, that you'd work in their life and that you'd continue to show yourself strong. Have your way, Lord, I pray. Continue to convict them about their need regarding their Savior. They can appreciate not only you, but their parents and good, godly things. And they won't be a statistic, gone with the wind, with the chaff of the world. But they'll be dwelling safely in the hand of God. In Jesus' name, amen.